Mr. David Butler, Reel 16. Now, we just want to adjust the date. So you commissioned the ship
in November 65, we commissioned the ship.
And you came out, when you said 66, you didn't come out to the Far East?
No, it would be 66 we came out to the Far East. But what month, I can't remember.
Right, that's fair enough. And you had Christmas out there.
We went to Singapore, done some exercises with once again different navies, mainly Australian and American. Then we went and in Christmas 66 we spent in Hong Kong, and that's where we met Lionel Blair. We had him on board for Christmas Day. And then when we sailed from there, we sailed with the Americans. There was the British, the Americans, Australians, New Zealanders. And we was all on a big flying exercise, this was. Because I got myself, well, I didn't get myself, I got detailed off for a special job in the night, during the night shift. Because I was not a watch keeper down the boiler room and engine room, I was an engine, a specialist in the engine room, in the office. When the job came on this exercise, I had to go and sit in the ops room looking after the aircraft radar.
Now, what does that entail?
To be very honest, not a lot. I don't really know why I had to sit and look at it, because I was supposed to watch out for aircraft coming onto the radar screen, and I never ever can honestly say that I saw one. Whether it was a precaution against like Chinese or anybody like that, I don't know. The Cold War, I don't really know, because I can't say that I saw any aircraft or had to deal with any aircraft that came onto the screen. It was massive, it was a massive, big thing. But we had to sit there, and there was chefs, store people and everything. Anybody that wasn't a watchkeeper on a regular basis had to do watches in this on this machine. And the only thing that I contacted on there was when we got near Australia, they contacted me, whichever the case may be, the flying doctor in Darwin. And we were sitting there sailing down there one day and exercising one day, and all of a sudden I heard this voice come on. And I can't remember what they said, but it was, and I answered them back.
Is this radar or wireless?
No, this is all to do with the radar. You've got a microphone and everything in case you want to speak to somebody that come. Say, let's say somebody comes up on the thing. You've got to get them to identify themselves, and you've got a microphone in your hand dealing with this.
No, I've got you now.
With this radar, and anyway, and I heard this voice, and so I answered it. You see, and I said, "Who are you?" And they said, "This is the flying doctor service out of Darwin." And they said, "Who are you?" And I said, "HMS Arethusa, British Royal Navy. What are you doing?" And it was 5 o'clock in the morning. And I said, "Well, we're doing exercises, and we're on our way to Australia." I said, "In actual fact, some of the ships will be coming to you." And I was talking to her. I used to spend about 15 minutes in a morning, and for about a week. Every morning at 5 o'clock, she'd come on. And in the meantime, she was also talking to people who were flying the flying doctor service. And I think this is how I got to know her, you see. This is how I got to think. Audra, her name was, if I remember rightly. I think it was Audra. And I thought, what an unusual name.
Now, what else happened? Anything else about these exercises?
No. Well, it was above me. It was, once again, you see, it was all flying and captains and whatever you intermingling exercises, being in charge of ships and doing ship work and tossing the ship around and everything. But the one thing that did stand out, we crossed the equator 18 times in one night on this exercise, and that stuck with me. But as far as doing the exercise, it was we had about 5 carriers with us, and it was mostly them that was doing the flying this year. And I think this might have been why they had got this radar going. It was a precautionary radar, I think. It was a radar that they used that the ship would use if it was deeply involved in an aircraft thing like that. And then you'd have a proper seaman, a radar bloke on it. I think we was just a precautionary people in case anybody floated onto it and they shouldn't have done. So that's all I can put it down to. And then when the exercise is finished, we all dispersed to different places. And we with the Ark Royal went down to Sydney, into Garden Island. I don't think any other ship went with us. And we was there for a week in Sydney, which was very enlightening.
And in what way?
Well, you know, I found the people brilliant. The way they lived, I found brilliant. So laid back, nothing seemed to worry them. The weather was good, which I'd expected at the Far East anyway. And they was good people. I found them good people. I've been there since, you see, I can also verify that. But they was very friendly. There was a lot of people went home to different places with different people. I tried to find my cousin who lived out there, but I found out later on, after I'd left Australia, she had moved down to Adelaide.
Now, what was the next thing after Sydney?
And then from Sydney, we went to Hobart, all showing the flag sort of stuff again. You see, we went down to Hobart, and once again, people came on board and took us home. I got involved with this chap, Norman, and his wife, Sheila. They was actually Australians. And they took me all around the island and showed me around the island.
Hobart's Tasmania, is it?
Tasmania, yeah.
Then where?
Then we left there, and we went to Albany, Western Australia, right at the very bottom.
So basically showing the flag.
Showing the flag, yeah. And from there, you see, my engineer officer that I'd been with from the day I joined the ship, he was supposed to fly home from there. So he sent me, before we got there, so you've got, Mr. Butler, he said, I want you to go into Albany, he said, and buy me a big suitcase. I said, what for? He said, I'm flying home from there. He said, and Lieutenant Commander Alexander, who joined the ship in Sydney, Lieutenant Commander Alexander, a new engineer, joined the ship in Sydney. He was going to take over from him. And so I was going to go ashore. I'd been asked to go ashore and get a big suitcase in things. So he said, I've made arrangements, he said, and you'll be going ashore with the postman. Because the postman is nearly always the first person ashore. And I said, righto, sir, blah, blah, blah. And so when we tied up at the jetty in Albany, a Land Rover comes down and picks us up, me and the postman and I, and we drive us into Albany. I don't think it's far, but we drove there and we got to the bottom of the street, bottom of the main street. And the bloke stopped. He said, this is Albany, fellas. So we had a look and I said, bloody hell. He said, what? I said, this is Dodge City, 1870. there was a big wide street, massively wide street. And there was back wing doors. There was hitching rails and all sorts up this main street. But it was a brilliant place. It was absolutely brilliant. When I got back on board, the engineer said to me, what's it like? I said, Dodge City, 1870. I said, that's all you can think. And I went, while we was there, we went for, the postman and I went for a pint. And we walked in this pub next door to the post office, and I said, oh, can I have a pint of beer, please? And this bloke said, we don't do them, Brum, he said. We don't do them, Brum. I said, what do you mean, Brum? He said, well, you're from Birmingham, ain't you? I said, well, I'm not really. I said, I'm near Warwick. He said, oh, I know Warwick, he said. I said, do you? He said, I'm from Wolverhampton, he said. So that was it. And when we got back on board, after with a suitcase, I got the suitcase or whatever, and the postman and I got back on board, the Land Rover was then sent back to Albany to pick up six chaps from the ship who left the ship in either Hobart. No, they didn't. Sydney. Had to be Sydney. They left the ship in Sydney and they hitchhiked across to for charity to Albany. Because one of the chaps lived in their street.
I'm just wondering, you must have been getting close to your end of your time on this ship as well as the engineering officer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was. But the engineer never left the ship there. This this Lieutenant Commander Alexander was took ill, so he stayed in the cabin because he couldn't, he had got a stomach bug or something, but he was taken ill, and so the engineer said, right, I'll stop on board then. The captain made arrangements for him to stop on board, and we bought it, and he came back to we went back to Singapore, and the new engineer officer went into hospital, and we then were sailing for home via Tristan da Cunha, Rio de Janeiro, the Gambia, and Sierra Leone.
So back through the Atlantic, round to the
South
American.
Yeah, but on the way to Tristan da Cunha, we got the 6 day war. Was it 66? The 6 day war started. So we got held back in the Indian Ocean. And they sent us to a French island.
Would it be 67 if you went out?
67. I'm telling a lie. Yeah, whatever it was up the Suez, whatever Newfoundland was involved, up in the Mediterranean, because they was at Gibraltar and they got sent to the far side. And there was something happened up in Egypt, somewhere like that, and we got sent then. We got sent to a little island in the Indian Ocean, a French island. And I'm just trying to find the name of it.
Doesn't matter.
No, but we got delayed then, and we had to hang around in the Indian Ocean. So we went to this French island, then we came back, then we sailed slowly for South Africa. On our way, instead of rushing around like we would have done, gone at cruising speed, we messed around doing exercises, and then we finished up at Tristan da Cunha to present a medal to an old lady that Tristan da Cunha had that all that problem with the volcano and whatever. Yeah? And got all the people off the island. What's the word?
Evacuated.
They'd evacuated all the people off the island except for one, Granny Smith. And because she stayed on, and we was also in company with HMS Kent. I've just remembered that now. We was also in company with HMS Kent. But she didn't come to... She picked us up in South Africa. Just off South Africa.
So this is all basically to avoid the Suez Canal. That's what's going on.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot to do in the Suez Canal. We was going to come back that way anyway, apparently. It was because we was, as I say, a Ross C-class frigate, and we was we was one of the new ones, you see, one of the better made ones as well. We got certain equipment on that some of the earlier ones hadn't got.
So it wasn't because of the Six-Day War you did
it,
that?
Yes, it was. We should have come straight back, but we had to hang around in the Indian Ocean because of whatever was happening around the Suez Canal area. And I can't remember what it was. But we had to hang around in the Indian Ocean, and that's why how we got involved with the Kent.
So what was it? What happened when he got back then?
I got transferred. I got taken off the ship and drafted to HMS Bell. I had me leave.
When did you leave the ship?
In October 67, or late 67. Yeah, late 67.
So you'd been on it for 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
How did you feel about leaving a ship when you'd been on it that long?
Miserable, really, because it was a good ship. But having said that, I didn't really get on well with Lieutenant Commander Alexander. So I wasn't too... he was a little bit... He was new to his own command, shall I say that? A lot of engineers have their own ship at some time when they're lieutenants, probably, a little ship or something, but he'd never had. And this was his first ship as a lieutenant, plus the fact we was Captain D when we was out in the Far East. We had to do inspections and things like that. Well, this was all new to him. As an engineer officer, he wasn't used to this sort of thing, and he was a little bit standoffish. So I didn't get on too well with him. So I wasn't all that sorry to leave, because as soon as we got back to Gibraltar, the engineer officer, I just remembered that, as soon as we got back to Gibraltar, we stopped at Gibraltar, and the engineer officer flew from Gibraltar home, and Alexander joined us. So it was I had a week.
Alexander's a new officer, not your old one.
No. Lieutenant Commander Alexander was the new engineer officer.
Now, where were you sent to next?
Then I went to Bellerophon, which was the reserve fleet in Portsmouth, on to HMS Sheffield.
That's at Portsmouth?
That's at Portsmouth, yeah. Now, if you remember rightly, in 59 and 60, I went to Bellerophon, didn't I? If you look at the...
HMS Bellerophon's the overall
it's
name.
It's the overall name for the reserve fleet in Portsmouth.
Now, this time you're on HMS Sheffield.
Sheffield.
What were you doing? Which were your capacities? Were you a writer?
I was a writer in this instance. And they sent me what they call up Fareham Creek. And I was placed on HMS Daring.
So you weren't with... Hang on, were you with HMS Sheffield or not?
I was with I was based on HMS Sheffield. If I'd have been living there, I would have eaten and slept on HMS. But every morning I used to come into work to the Sheffield, hang my stuff in my locker, and then go and catch the boat up the creek to HMS Daring.
Daring,
D-A-R-I-N-G.
Oh, yeah. Now, what were you doing aboard her?
Tidying up all the paperwork that had been left from when it went into reserve. There was a lot of paperwork, and this apparently happens. In some ships it don't, some ships it does. And there was a lot of paperwork that needed tidying up and all files being brought all together so that everybody had every ship had a story in the engine room branch or whatever the case may be. So I was put on there to tidy up all the paperwork in case they got a buyer. And then in the January, I was then sent, still doing the same job, still at Bellerophon. I was then sent across to HMS St Vincent. They was just shutting that down.
And what was HMS St Vincent?
And that was a boys' training school.
It was a ship, was it?
No, it was a shore base in Gosport. It was a shore base in Gosport.
And what, so, same job?
No, I was... I was given the job of collating all the names of the boys who had gone through there in the last 10 years so that the ship's office could keep track of them. And how on earth I got this job, or why the job unveiled, I haven't got a clue. Because the only bloke in charge up there was a sub-lieutenant. And he didn't really know what he'd got to do. But the place had shut, and then all of a sudden it came out of the blue that they wanted all these different little jobs done. And there was different little people there doing little jobs. And I'd got to collect 10 years of names and what they left as.
Well, that's pretty... That's a lot of boys.
Yeah, that is a lot of boys. Believe you me, I mean, Hartley, P, junior seaman. You could be a radar man. And so it was brackets R or radar. And then your date of birth, I think it was your date of birth. Not where you'd gone, because I didn't know where you'd gone. And that's all you'd done. And the day you left, the day of leaving. So that was that. And then I was left there. I got drafted in March, in 68.
Now, is this away from HMS Sheffield then?
This is away from HMS Sheffield then. I got sent down to the Portland, to the HMS Murray.
Now, what's HMS Murray?
It's a little frigate, one screw, that's attached to HMS Osprey, which was the shore base at Portland, which was the base of the Flag Officer Sea Training. So I was then attached to Foster's, you might say, indirectly.
Now, what were you? Which capacity?
I was the engineer's office writer.
So this is what you is this what you are all the time now, or you don't go back to any engineering?
Not quite. I do. Okay, I do.
Yeah. I better keep asking it. Make sure we track it through. Yeah. So this is March 68.
This is March 68.
Now, what are you? So you're acting as a writer.
I'm an LME, and I'm sent down there as the engineer's office writer for Lieutenant Budd.
Now, what's this like?
Brilliant.
What's so good about it? Why is it good?
It's a happy little ship. The first thing I have to do when I arrived down in Portland, I walked on board, and the coxswain said, straight down to the mess. He said, go along the upper deck, he said, and you'll come to a ladder, just drop down there, just before the Beaufort's, he said. Drop down there, he said, that's your mess, he said. And thank Christ you've come, he said. Three bads killick, I just need you in charge. I need somebody in charge, he said. So get down there and take charge of that mess. I said, why, turn up? He said, no, it's a nice little mess, he said. We live in the mess. And they'd got a little mess inside the mess, with their own private doorway in the mess. He said, we live in the mess. He said, it's a lovely little mess. But it just, nobody has got a clue how to run it. I said, oh, well, thanks very much, coxswain. The first thing I done, I get down the ladder, and I stand in the mess, and there's a bunk in front of me. And lying asleep on this bunk is this chap in his dirty, scruffy overalls. And they are dirty, and they are scruffy. And so I shakes him. I said, excuse me. What are you doing sleeping? And he'd got a blanket over him as well. And you could see that because he'd been tossing and turning, you could see it. I said, are you sleeping? I said, yeah. I said, well, I'm sorry, I woke you. I said, what are you doing in bed in your overalls? I all sleep like this, he said. Socks on and all. I said, not anymore, you don't, mate. Out. And he said, I'm an ERA. I said, what sort of an ERA? He said, a leading hand. I said, oh. I said, well, I'm a leading stoker. And I said, at this moment in time, I'm the senior leading hand in this mess. I said, now get out of your bed. And anyway, he was, they called him the vicar because his dad was a vicar, but he was a nice lad, but he was scruffy, completely and utterly hopeless at general hygiene, because his mum had always done it, you see. And then I went down this mess and had my meal, and then I found out about the different things that went on in the mess. And the first thing I did, I clamped down on the beer issue, because the canteen manager, they just went up and they said, oh, you was allowed 2 cans of beer per man per day, and you were supposed to collect it yourself. But because it was such a small ship, and it was a happy little ship, the canteen manager was quite happy to say to a bloke, come up, can I have a crate of beer? And they say, yeah, so that's only so-and-so to come. There's only, and I think we got 2 crates, I'm not quite sure now. But anyway, and he just used them, crate of beer, in block. Well, what they didn't sell, they used to keep in a locker, because you had the little mess, but then you had a thin passageway, and lockers on one side, and then a passageway, and that was where you changed, because there was only 2 tables in the mess, but there was a spare locker in there, and that's where they kept the beer. The coxswain knew about it; he was quite happy with it. But then they started abusing the privilege, and that's when he got upset, because he'd come down in the afternoon or something like that.
So you were like re-establishing discipline and good order on the mess deck.
Yeah, yeah. And then next morning, I went down and seen the engineer officer, and he said, "Oh, right." He said, "I've had a look at your papers." He said, "You've got a boiler ticket," and I said, "Which means that I could steam the boilers. I was capable of steaming the boilers," and I said, "Yeah," and he said, "You're just the bloke I want." He said, "I said, why? How would you like to be the training bloke?" The trainer for steaming the boilers. I said, but I'm your writer, sir. You'll have plenty of time, he said. We're not a busy ship. He said, all we've got to do is go in and out of harbour every day. He said, we go out at 8 o'clock, we're back in at 5. He said, don't matter what the rest of the ships are doing, they can play around all night out there, he said, but we're 8 till 5 in this squadron. There was about 3 of us, I think. And he said, so you'll have plenty of time. He said, occasionally we stop out overnight, but that's only when Frost has got a proper exercise going on. He said, so I'm looking for somebody that'll help me with the boiler training and things like that. He said, I can leave it. I said, yeah, no, I don't mind. I said, I'd like to keep my hand in, actually, boil steam in the boiler. Just a job, he said. Yeah, he said, and I'll make sure that you don't get too much paperwork, he said. So anyway, and so that helped me a lot, because I then took over the training in the boiler room, and I also used to go down, and if I'd had a quiet afternoon, I used to go down there and say to the PO, do you mind if I wander around? And I found out all the things and what have you.